Well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Paula Usted English?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
I'm your host, John Rush. Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Hour number two is upon us. Our first guest this hour, Bill Higgs, joining us. And he has written a book, the author of, we've had him on before, Culture Code Champion, 7 Steps to Scale and Succeed in Your Business. Bill, welcome back. How are you today, sir?
Thanks for having me, John.
Always appreciate it. Hey, I know we're going to talk about thriving during the pandemic. I don't know whether you've heard or not, but here in Colorado, we're going to have a lot of businesses shutting back down. Frankly, they're not saying the words this way, but realistically, our state is shutting down tomorrow. So there's going to be a lot of places that are closed back up again. And in some cases, Bill, may be very detrimental. Given that, how do businesses succeed with all of what's going on?
Well, they've already been through the downturn once and had to probably make major cuts. Some of them probably luckily had a V recovery. Some of them maybe it's a little bit slower, or if it's a restaurant, it's not coming back. But if they have come back, most companies that I've worked with, when they cut to like half the size, when they came back, they didn't bring back all of the overhead people.
Right, right.
So I think some of those companies will be in a little bit better position to handle what's going to happen starting tomorrow in Colorado.
And you know what? I sure hope that you're correct. I also know that, you know, one of the things that companies enjoy doing is, you know, giving back to the community, also giving back to their employees. Although this particular season we're seeing, you know, Christmas parties and holiday parties, whatever you want to call them, canceled. You know, folks are worried about the spread of COVID and those sorts of things. What advice do you have on companies that are looking at all those different aspects?
Well, I think one of the things we have to try and do is stay the course. So the leaders need to continue to have a positive attitude. They have to admit what's going on, but then talk to their people about, here's what we're going to do in order to get through this. And I remember we did offshore oil platforms.
Right.
During downturns, we'd work for Houston Metro Bus Company. We worked for Uncle Ben's Rice. It's like whatever we could find, and we got our people. We said, we've just got to be really flexible, find what we can eat, get out there and do it. And if you can get that kind of energy and people pulling together, what happens is you busted all the silos because everybody's in the suit together.
True.
Top management down to the people in the Xerox room. And so the communication is really good. And I think when you turn their brains on and say, hey, we're making it, we're limping through this thing, what can we do to give back? And I think that actually helps people because, well, yeah, there's people that are even worse off than we are.
Amen. Well said. Well said.
Yeah, so that giving back can actually reinvigorate and give them some energy.
The giving back part, Bill, and by the way, I really admire you for what you just said because I believe that wholeheartedly. When you learn to be a giver or you give back, you end up with a different perspective on everything that's going on around you. And to your point a moment ago, you realize that, number one, there's always somebody worse off than I am. Yeah, there's always somebody probably better off than I am as well. But it changes your perspective when you learn how to give and give back.
Well, what you are trying to do is you're trying to spiral people's attitudes up. So right now, they've all spiraled down. If you can just get them back to even keel, you're winning. But then if you can get some positive energy going, get some smiles, create some good memories, then you're going to start that positive energy. Like when you call on clients, and you're talking about something positive that you've done, it'll be way different than anybody else that's calling on that client, and they'll feel that difference in energy, and you'll find that you get awarded projects without even bidding because you have that positive energy.
Boy, you know, you are, again, kind of preaching to the choir and preaching to what I try to do on a daily basis here, you know, exactly what you're talking about. And this time of year, with everything going on with COVID and what's been happening in the past 7-8 months, I understand, Bill, everybody out there listening. Yeah, there are some folks out there that are struggling, and it is easy to get a little negative at time and sort of blame, you know, the next person in line, if you would, for the problems that we have today. But the reality, Bill, is, you know, you still have to overcome, and no matter who ends up in the Oval Office, the reality is, you know, we in business have to overcome and learn how to make those challenges, you know, how to overcome those challenges no matter what, because if we don't, you know, our livelihood is gone. So no matter what, we got to overcome that stuff, period.
Yeah, I took a phrase from the Terminator movie, and we called it no fake leadership. So even though the whole world's crashing down around you, there's no faith that you have to go down with it.
Right.
That you have to take charge of your own destiny. And you know, one of the things I believe in a lot is hard copy communication. So one of the things is just the monthly newsletter. Send that home hard copy to the family.
Yeah.
Instead of just emailing it and they read the first paragraph and then blip it off. They get a hard copy. The spouse is going to read it. If there's pictures of kids or some
get-back
activity, they're going to share it. And what you're trying to do is you're trying to win the hearts and minds of your people. But if you can start winning the hearts and minds of the family at the house, that is the support group, you know, for your employees. So take a more holistic approach to how do we include that family in what we're doing to try and raise everybody up.
I like what you're saying. And the other thing too, Bill, and I would suggest this to all the employers that are out there listening, and I try to do this when I coach my clients, Bill, and that is, you know, if there's something that you've always wanted to do, maybe an area that you've tried to expand into that you couldn't, or for whatever reason, whatever excuse you had, I'm trying to get my clients to get rid of those excuses, move forward, do those things they've never done before. Because right now, if they can do that and be one step ahead of their competition coming back out of this, well, you and I both know the rewards are going to be huge.
Absolutely. There used to be two things. One is we took notes on every hole in the bucket that we plugged during the downturn. So when times got good again, we'd review that and make sure we weren't putting that fat back into the company.
Yep.
But another thing is to work, like you say, on something that you need. One of the things I tell companies is, do you have a standard sales program? Like we use Neuro Hyman.
Right.
But a standardized sales program will mint a company money. And now's a time where you could start implementing that, training your people. They all have spreadsheets that you use in order to figure out how to pull ops and sales together to go after something. And so you get better communication. Now's a perfect time to be implementing that. When you come out, you'll be better than your competition. A, because you'll figure out whether you even want to chase that client, and B, if you chase it and win it, both ops and sales know what's coming in the door. It just changes everything.
It's amazing still, though, to me, Bill, and I've tried to eat out on purpose at times, and in fact probably have some extra pounds on from doing so that I probably need to get taken off, but the reality is I've done that to try to help some of these, you know, businesses that you know are struggling. You still want them to be around after the, you know, this pandemic is over. You enjoy eating there and so on. But I'm still amazed, Bill, at the lack of what you're talking about in a restaurant. What I mean by that is, and I mean, maybe you're in a different area of the country than I am, but I know here in Colorado, I can't tell you, unless there's a rewards program attached to a particular chain restaurant, I can't tell you the last time I went to a restaurant where they actually asked me my full name, my address, what I enjoy eating, you know, what time of day do I like eating, what time of the week do I like eating. And my point is, if they built a portfolio of every client they've got and then they get shut down, well, why not go deliver me dinner?
Exactly, and use all that information on their social media program. But I think one of the things I've seen is we jumped 15 years in the future in terms of bringing social media and software into businesses. And what you're saying right there it may take the new generation of leaders in restaurants, but even the waiters and waitresses could be going to owners and saying, hey, here's something that we can start doing, and I'll invest the time to collect this information. And that's where I say where there's no fake leadership, if you can get everybody figuring out how to butter their own bread, then now you're pulling as a team. And those types of ideas will come up when they're talking about how to do that.
Well said. No, and again, I've been a little disappointed in that, Bill. To me personally, I mean, a business owner, I've been self-employed, you know, much like you, many, many years since I was 22, actually. And when times get tough, the tough get tougher. And yet I've seen some restaurants, at least in my neck of the woods, where the tough hasn't gotten tougher. The tough sort of just gone along with whatever's been going on, and whatever gets doled out to them by the local health department, they kind of have been doing. And they really, there are those rare exceptions, and I have seen a few where they've been very ingenious in how they've, you know, distanced inside of the restaurant to add capacity and some things along those lines. But, Bill, unfortunately, they're the minority, which means they're going to come out really strong, but they're the minority, not the majority.
Well, they're the ones that are looking at this as an opportunity. And when they come out of it and things go back to normal, they'll have another 20% revenue stream that they didn't used to have. And like you say, the stronger gets stronger. But the other thing that happens that I like to talk about is now's a perfect time to be hiring.
Right.
Really good
yes.
people.
Thank you. Yes, it is.
Because some good people will not like how their leadership team treated them in this downturn.
That's right.
So take your restaurant, the one that's still doing everything the old way and they're all at the house. I said, man, my leadership team just didn't figure it out. Look at this restaurant down the street. They're still doing it. Well, those really good employees, they're ready to move if you give them a call.
I had that call this morning with one of my clients, Bill. It's an automotive shop, and they've got a particular employee that's not doing as well as they would like, and it happens to be in a managerial position. And I told them, I said, hey, I wouldn't concern. There's a ton of managerial workers coming out of the restaurant world that understand stress, they understand volume, they understand logistics, they understand getting a customer in and out and having good service and all of that. The reality is to train them to run cars through a shop is not that big of a training exercise. If your guy right now is not cutting it, go hire someone else that will.
Exactly. Now's the time, I call it high-grading your people, to get all of the skills to a better level coming out, which will also then allow you to beat your competition. But it's a good time because everything's unsettled. Some people that would never leave a company are probably available now.
Well said. Again, folks, Bill Higgs, really enjoy having you. Bill, had you on back in September and really appreciate you joining us again. Forbes book author of Culture Code Champions, 7 Steps to Scale and Succeed in Your Business. Bill, you're always welcome. It's a joy. Happy Thanksgiving and have a great week next week, please.
You have a great one, John.
We'll do it, Bill. Thank you again. I really appreciate it. And by the way, everybody listening, Bill is just a solid individual. If you go look up his bio and look at some of the things that he's done in life, the guy that we were just talking to, by the way, is, let's just say this, he is a lot smarter than I am and has done a lot in his life. And the words of wisdom that he gives out and gives freely on our program now twice is very, very appreciated. Enchanted Kitchens, folks, is next, and they want to help you make that kitchen that enchanted place, that core place. And by the way, they've expanded as well. They've got a new design person on their team to help assist in the designing of your new kitchen. So call them today, 303-376-7588, or find them at klzradio.com.
The Enchanted Kitchens design team will make your ideas work beautifully. You're ready to move forward with your new kitchen design, but you're already worn out by all of the decisions. You've compared prices, you've collected photos online, but now you need help getting started. Let the Enchanted Kitchens design team take it from here. You could pick out new cabinets and countertops from any home supply store, and someone would probably come to your house one time to measure your space. But the Enchanted Kitchens design team will help you make your ideas work beautifully. That's the difference between trying to handle your own kitchen redesign and hiring the professional team of designers at Enchanted Kitchens. You will have an experienced guide to walk you elegantly through the process. Schedule a free, no-obligation consultation at the Enchanted Kitchens Experience Center. Find them now at klzradio.com/kitchens, where magic meets design.
Affordable Interest Mortgage. Kurt will join me at the top of the hour at 5 o'clock, and we'll talk about mortgages and rates and where things are headed in the housing market. In the meantime, though, if you have any questions for Kurt, please ask him. 720-895-0500. Again, that's Kurt Rogers, Affordable Interest Mortgage.
Rates are like a roller coaster lately. Are you concerned about the future and how to protect your home? Do you want to become mortgage safe? Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage. With home values still at their highest level ever and rates at historic lows, now may be the best time to be prepared if the economy changes. Last time, many of our friends lost their home when it was unnecessary. Take AIM, 720-895-0500. Many of our clients have the ability to tap their equity should the economy change, all without having to borrow the money now. We can show you how to access your equity in these uncertain times to give you peace of mind and allow you to focus on what's important, your family. Call Affordable Interest Mortgage at 720-895-0500. That's 720-895-0500. We are locally owned and operated since 2001. Our reputation of putting you first with straight answers and listening are unmatched in Colorado. Let us help you protect your home. Take AIM, 720-895-0500, where it's all about you.
The big game hunting season is upon us, and archery season is in full swing. Hi, this is Scott Watley with Sportsman of Colorado. Join us Saturdays from 1 to 2 p.m. We'll bring you local outfitters, experts in archery, muzzle loading, and rifle hunting, and much more. Looking for a place to hunt pheasant and waterfowl? We've got you covered. Want to book a trophy deer or elk hunt with a reliable outfitter? We can help. If you like the outdoors, you'll love Sportsman of Colorado. Sportsman of Colorado, Saturdays at 1, right here on KLZ 560.
Putting reason into your afternoon drive. This is John Rush.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Shifting gears for a moment here. There's a story out, I think it came out yesterday, that up to 400 employees at the RTD, Regional Transportation District, will be subject to layoffs under the agency's approved budget, along with the elimination of hundreds of vacant positions. The Denver Post reported that the RTD Board of Directors approved the $1.2 billion budget on Tuesday by a vote of 11-4. And I can't know if I can say this, Amalgamated Transit Union Local, Amalgamated, am I saying it right, Charlie? What does amalgamated mean, Charlie? Oh, all put together, Charlie says. That's a big word, Charlie. It's not allowed on this show. Transit Union Local, RTD's largest labor organization, by the way, there's a first mistake, had stridently opposed layoffs. So what? You come up with the money then, Transit Union, Local 1001. The budget also included salary cuts of between 3.5% to 7.5% for those earning more than 120 grand. That same day, Governor Jared, or Kevin as I call him, Polis, sent a letter to RTD saying that he was deeply concerned about the layoffs and requested more transparency about the $232 million in federal funding the agency received through the CARES Act this year to relieve costs of the COVID-19 pandemic. He also asked for a briefing to the new Independent Accountability Committee about RTD's moves to cut salaries and lower overhead costs. Quote, notably, it's particularly important that these frontline layoffs be delayed until it's clear whether Congress will be providing more relief to struggling transit agencies and local governments. By the way, wrong answer, Kevin, as usual. Wrong answer. I actually wrote out this morning, which I very seldom ever do. Charlie knows me. I just sort of off the cuff say things. But today I actually wrote a mini speech of what Governor Polis should have actually said in response to what RTD is doing. Here we go, folks. I am now Kevin Polis. We know RTD is facing and will face challenging times in the future. These challenges are here sooner because of COVID, but we're on the horizon. It's the board of directors' job to make sure RTD is sound financially, as we will not have any ability through state funds to help RTD make up any budget shortfalls. If you're a frontline RTD worker that may be laid off, my condolences. But as you all know, RTD's business has slowed as ridership is down. In fact, I predict that ridership will continue to fall as folks find other modes of transportation and automated driving comes online. My suggestion to all of you is start looking now for other lines of work. For those of you that are drivers or maintenance workers, private employers in Colorado have openings for workers with your skills. I encourage you to start now in finding a new position with these companies so we can keep Colorado's economy strong. Yours truly, Kevin Polis. That's how I would have said it, folks. Not that RTD made a mistake. Not that RTD needs to wait. Not that he's on the side of all of these workers. No, be honest. RTD's revenue is going to continue to drop on down the road. I've predicted it. It's now coming true, and it will continue to come true because people are going to find other ways from point A to point B, and it will not be on a bus. Plain and simple, folks. These are the things that RTD is going to face ongoing, and we do not need to wait. And by the way, I probably should have added something to my speech along the lines of, we cannot wait on RTD to find federal funds, which, by the way, is printed money that all go on the backs of our grandchildren. Let's figure out how to do this without those federal funds. That's what should be said, not what he said. But again, we have crappy leadership in the governor's office in Colorado. In fact, we have no leadership. Kevin Polis doesn't know how to lead. At all. But you know what? All you Democrats voted him in. This is what you get. And by the way, I don't want to hear any Democrats whining about what's going on right now. You voted for this crap. The rest of us didn't. This is on you, not me. I didn't vote for the guy. I didn't vote for a blue state. You all did. So you know what? These shutdowns are coming tomorrow. Folks in my neighborhood, by the way, next door, there's a lot of folks complaining about the shutdown. Somebody was quick to remind them, you know what? You all voted for this. Stop your whining. And by the way, that's a true statement. If you're whining about shutdowns and you're a liberal, shut up. You voted for this. I didn't. Jeff is up next. Jeff, what's going on?
Hey, oh, don't even get me started on RTD, John.
Rapid tax drain?
Exactly. They have never had a budget since they've been in existence that was realistic.
Nope.
They overestimate their ridership, and they have screwed the people of this state for decades now over their fast track scheme increase taxes, and have built nothing that they said they were going to. And they just depend every year on a handout from the state government to try to help them meet their budget. As far as I'm concerned, shut the whole damn thing down. I'm sorry that people would lose their jobs over it, but shut it down. People don't use it, or they wouldn't be begging for money or dependent on federal grants to make their budget.
And Jeff, I wish that you were not correct, but you are. And Charlie rides, you know, RTD and is one of those riders. But Charlie will tell you on a regular basis that there's times where he's got the whole thing to himself on a pretty routine basis, especially through COVID. There's been days he's exactly. come here where he had the whole bus or train to himself.
Yeah. You know, and you look at those light rail trains, and they run them all hours of the day.
Yes.
At least the last times that I spent down in Denver proper in the suburbs where they had them, and they're running them 24 hours a day, and there's nobody on them. Why are you running them?
Because they have to, because that's where those federal funds that Governor Polis is talking about come from, Jeff. That's it in a nutshell, basically.
Yeah. So, no, that's I would like nothing more than to see RTD just implode and go away.
You and I both. Jeff, thanks as well. I appreciate the phone call. Hope all of you enjoyed my actual speech and response to Governor Polis. I'm not a speechwriter by any means. I just sort of say it like it is. But you know, the fact of the matter is, folks, he shouldn't be defending the workers there and telling RTD not to make cuts until the future. What he should be doing is making people realize if they work at RTD, their days may be numbered. And if that's the case, go find another position. Selwyn Duke's going to join us next here. Violence, Inc., a leftist enterprise. He writes for the New American Magazine. We'll have him in just a moment. Purify Chevrolet is coming up next, folks. They want to help you out with all of your vehicle needs, new or used. There's some great deals, by the way, on new cars and used car prices are at an all-time high, so if you're looking to make a deal on a new car, bring that used car in. You'll get top dollar for it right now. PurifyChevrolet.com, 303-659-8311.
Hi, I'm Rolly Purefoy. You know, being in business for 6 decades in any business is a tough thing to do, especially in today's highly complex and competitive world. As a small business, we certainly have experienced many trying times when there was no clear answer or path to take for survival. The COVID-19 virus for all of us has been the ultimate business disruptor, but once again, we've managed to keep on keeping on, and we are there to serve our many tried and true customers that have depended on us to always be there. We aren't and never will be a big high-flying dealership, but one with honesty and integrity and a culture of doing things right. We appreciate all our customers, many of which have come long distances to do business with us. We are proud of who we are and what we do. Purefoy proud. We certainly need and would appreciate a chance to earn your business, whether it would be for parts or service or if you're in the market for a new or used vehicle. We'd love to be your Chevy dealer. Find us today at purefoychevrolet.com and find new roads.
Golden Eagle Financial. And folks, yes, you need to plan for the future and make sure you get there and you've got enough money to stay there. And, you know, you need people that are a lot smarter, frankly, than even I am when it comes to that and making sure that you have the money needed for the lifestyle you want to live once you arrive there. Al's a financial advisor. Al Smith, he'd love to help you out. Golden Eagle Financial, 303-744-1128, or find him at klzradio.com.
You have the money. Now you need a plan. Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial specializes in retirement planning, teaching you how to preserve your wealth so you have enough money to last. You've already done the heavy lifting by saving diligently all of your adult life, but you still feel uncertain about what your retirement will look like. You have the money, now you need the plan. As a fiduciary advisor, Al Smith will show you how to protect your savings from unnecessary taxes, when to file for Social Security, and how to minimize risk. Unlike a stockbroker who earns a commission every time they buy or sell on your behalf, Golden Eagle Financial offers stable, long-term guidance so you know what to expect for you and your family's future. Visit klzradio.com/money to set up a free, no-obligation consultation with Al Smith of Golden Eagle Financial. Advisory services offered through Foundations Investment Advisors, an SEC-registered investment advisor.
The Mike Gallagher Show.
He's your happy conservative warrior.
Do you understand why so many people doubt the legitimacy of the 2020 election?
I would say that if they're doubting the legitimacy of this election, they are mainly mistaken.
There's a disconnect here, I guess. Something stinks here.
Breaking news and what to make of it.
Don't miss the next Mike Gallagher Show.
Mike Gallagher, weekday mornings at 8 on KLZ 560.
Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. Welcome to the bottom of the hour. Selwyn Duke joining us now. New American Magazine, Violence, Inc., a leftist enterprise. And boy, Selwyn, is it not. Holy cow.
It certainly is. It certainly is. And it's great to be with you. I'm looking to have a Rocky Mountain High here.
Hey,
I'm
hey,
in New York.
Welcome. No, thank you. Thank you very much. And by the way, you guys have a great magazine. I read articles in there on a very routine basis. So thank you for all the hard work that you guys do. But, you know, we are in times where, I shouldn't say in times, we have gotten to the times, and I believe it's been a progression that's gotten us here, where literally violence is a tool now used by the left.
Yeah. Well, people have to realize that this is nothing new. This is completely in accordance with the nature of the left.
Mm-hmm.
The left, quote unquote, was born during the French Revolution. That's actually when the terms right and left, as they pertain to the political sphere, originated. Most people may not realize that. Well, from the get-go, the left was violent. They had their reign of terror during the French Revolution. Thousands of people perished, were executed under the guillotine, and then it just continued from there on. It was wash, rinse, and repeat, with Mao Zedong in China killing 60 million people approximately, Stalin, the Soviet Union, killing at least 20 million people. We had the Khmer Rouge in Cambodia between 75 and 79, killing off one quarter to one third of the whole country's population. So this is, again, what the left does, and people have to understand this, because otherwise we're going to be a led off to the slaughter. And we can see it now with what's going on. I mean, for a long time, Trump supporters have been attacked in the streets.
Yep.
We've seen a couple being assassinated in recent times. We see other leftists talking about how they want to clamp down on speech. They want to stifle dissent.
Yeah, I want to stop there for 1 second, Selwyn. We've got some folks out there claiming now, you know, we've got people that want to be inside of Biden's cabinet if he ends up being president to basically believe that any kind of hate speech is not free speech and should be shut down. That's not how this works.
Yeah, well, exactly. But this accords with what's going on in the rest of the Western world. For a long time, we've had so-called hate speech laws all over the Western world, and what's protected us from that has been our First Amendment. But now they're trying to do an end run around that, John. And one way in which they do that is by using proxies. They're using now big tech as proxies.
Yes, that's right.
To stifle speech.
That's right.
So in other words, you see that we had that hearing on Tuesday, that big tech hearing, and you saw Christopher Coons, for instance, from Delaware, the senator. He was actually talking. I think he addressed this to Jack Dorsey of Twitter, but he was actually talking about how there's not enough censorship. What about so-called climate denialists, to use his terminology? Mm-hmm. I call them climate realists. But he was saying, are you going to do anything to stifle that sort of commentary? Because I think, and I'm putting it in my own words now, that's really deleterious to our civilization, was his point. And, you know, it is unbelievable. But again, like I said, they're using these big tech corporations
yes.
as proxies because the government cannot actually straight out stifle speech. The First Amendment prohibits that. But these private entities technically can do it, even though they got this special dispensation from lawsuits in the 1990s, which basically was given to them under the stipulation that they would be open forums. But anyway, no one even thinks about that anymore. But yes, it's very destructive. And what's going on here, John, this is how I put it, is we're experiencing a pacification effort.
Yes.
You know how after World War II, when they wanted to make sure there would be denazification in Germany, that was called a pacification effort. Or after we won the war in Iraq, we embarked upon a pacification effort. That's what's going on here with the left. A lot of conservatives were saying for years, well, the left is getting frantic because they know they're losing. They're getting desperate. And I would say to them, no, I wish that were the case. You don't understand what's going on. The reason why they're acting this way is that they're cementing their control of the culture more and more. And so now they can really bare their fangs. They can really drop that mask, as they force us to wear masks
right.
physically, ironically. And what they can do is they can go from sector to sector in society, stamping out dissent. They already have complete control over academia. They've had that for a long time. You don't find much dissent there. Complete control over the mainstream media. No conservatives there to speak of, for
right.
the most part, right? Complete control over entertainment. Now they own most of big business. And now what they're doing with their cancel culture, as we call it, is, again, they're using that to stifle or stamp out the last few pockets of dissent. And, of course, the purpose is obvious, John. The other side cannot prevail in the debate, no matter how well-reasoned its arguments may be, if it can't participate in the debate.
Mm.
And the left knows that it cannot win substantively, so it has to use other tactics to prevail, attacking people, shouting people down, and censoring them, right?
Exactly. And I also think, and it'll be a matter of, and by the way, I think this is one example of why we have the Supreme Court now that we have and why it's a good thing. But there will be, mark my words on this, Selman, there will be counties, cities, even states that may very well enact quote-unquote hate speech laws, which will then hopefully go to the Supreme Court and be struck down because it's unconstitutional. But mark my words, you know those are coming.
Well, absolutely. And here, I'm going to tell you something that most people aren't aware of. If you go to other Anglo countries, and again, all the other ones that I know of have hate speech laws, Canada, Australia, the United Kingdom, New Zealand, so on and so forth, the entities that actually enforce these onerous, tyrannical laws and persecute people are known always, as far as I know, as human rights commissions or
right.
human rights tribunals.
That's right.
Human
That's
rights
right.
commissions. Well, guess what? We already have human rights commissions in this country.
We do.
If you check your county, if you live in a sizable county, you probably have one. Your state no doubt has one.
Oh, well, we have one here. In fact, that's the reason why we had the big Jack Phillips lawsuits and things that happened in Colorado that became very well-known worldwide, Selman, not just nationwide. But, yeah, that came out of one of the organizations you're mentioning.
Exactly. These are governmental bureaucracies,
right.
and they're not yet involved enforcing hate speech law because we don't have that law yet, but they're involved in other kinds of tyranny. You mentioned Jack Phillips, the baker. And my point in mentioning this, John, is that the machinery for the enforcement of hate speech law already exists.
Well said.
The governmental machinery. It's all there. And it shouldn't exist. I want to tell every good citizen, we should not have one, not even one human rights commission.
Amen.
We didn't have them decades ago. We don't need them now.
And by the way, for everybody listening, the one in Colorado, I'm sure it's the same way around the country, Selwyn. Here's the other thing that, doesn't work with those commissions. Number one, they're appointed. They're not an elected official by any stretch of the imagination. But then we also fund them to the tune of millions of dollars here in Colorado. So not only do we not have them elected, we appoint them, and then we fund them so they can go around and do the very things you're talking about.
Well, exactly. And that's long been a problem in our government, John, where we have these unelected bureaucrats doing the dirty work that the politicians don't want to do directly. And it's a very, very bad thing because these people, of course, are not elected. They're not directly answerable to the people. And they often act unconstitutionally or extra-constitutionally.
Mm.
So it's a very, very bad thing. Yeah.
I like the extra-constitutionally you just said because, yeah, they basically make up their own rules as they go.
Yeah, well, they do. I mean, we've seen this up in Canada. I know that Mark Stein, the social commentator, mm-hmm. I think he had some hate speech charges brought against him. Another one, was it Ezra Levant, or do I have the wrong name? But the person I'm thinking of actually had to testify in front of some individual, some bureaucrat from one of these human rights commissions, and the whole thing was videoed, and he put it online. And it was just so ridiculous. But this is what we're heading for. And, of course, when you say hate speech law, who is defining here what constitutes hate? You know, that's the problem.
Good point.
What ends up happening, is that the left ends up defining as hateful anything that's contrary to
anything they don't like, basically, right?
Absolutely. You had Christopher Coons there. Like I said, he was addressing the Twitter CEO, Jack Dorsey. But that's precisely what we're talking about. You have a guy here who's been a lawyer and has been in government for 20 years. He knows nothing about so-called climate change. He's not a climatologist.
Right.
He has no expertise in the area. Nonetheless, he somehow believes that he's qualified to determine what can be said in that debate. Mm. And that's very, very dangerous because there are certain areas where everything is unsettled. Everything is up in the air. We don't know what the truth is. COVID, the China virus is like that. So-called climate change is like that. You need to have, with respect to these things, John, a robust debate.
Yes.
This is not like we're debating.
And we're not having that. I mean, we in Colorado, Selwyn, are going to another shutdown mode. They're not calling it this. They've changed the wording, which is what the left loves doing. But essentially, we're in a shutdown mode starting tomorrow here in Colorado. And again, the thing I keep throwing out on my program when it comes to these shutdowns is, you know, they're doing this in the quote-unquote name of science and in the name of, you know, the health of the citizenry of Colorado, but never mind all the people we're going to put out of work through the shutdowns. They don't care about those individuals.
No, they don't. They don't. And you have to ask, how much do they really believe in their own prescriptions? We just saw Gavin Newsom, the governor of California.
Right.
You know what I'm going to
mention?
He was caught. Yeah, someone took a picture. He was at a gathering with 11 other people. They were close together at a table.
Not no masks.
Social distancing. No masks on. Indoors. He lied about it initially.
Yeah, they were in. He said he was outdoors. They were indoors. There's pictures that prove it.
Yeah, exactly. So he was violating his own COVID prohibitions. And we saw the same thing with Nancy Pelosi in the hair salon, unmasked.
Well, on top of that, Selwyn, wasn't there a big, I have not looked this up, but somebody had sent me something to where there was a bunch of politicians that had a conference in Maui, even though we've got all these restrictions going to Hawaii. In fact, I had to cancel my Thanksgiving trip to Hawaii because of all the stupid restrictions that are there and the COVID test beforehand and so on. Yet, as politicians, they can run over there and have a conference and run back, and it's no big deal.
Yeah, it's do as I say, not as I do, and that's another hallmark of leftists. I mean, they don't feel any obligation to live up to their so-called principles, which are not really principles.
No.
Because they have nothing
they have
approximating
none.
That. Yeah, these people worship the gods of the moving goalposts. They have situational values. But, you know, when you see them not abiding by their own COVID restrictions, you have to say, well, what do they know? What do they really believe? What is this all about? Maybe they know things like this. Maybe they know that this virus is not nearly as deadly as it's cracked up to be. According to CDC data, if you are 0 to 19 years old and you contract the virus, your chances of survival are 99.997%.
That's right.
If you're 20 to 49, your chances of survival are 99.98%. And here, this will blow your mind. If you're 50 to 69, you might think that the virus would just ravage that group, right? Well, your chances of survival are 99.5%. And that's a group that includes older people with a lot of comorbidities.
Yeah, I was just going to say, older people, they're, you know, you get more obese. The older we get, we slow down. Our metabolisms slow down. I mean, all those things happen, to your point.
Well, speak for yourself there, John.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, you know, the reality is, you know, this is being made out to be a, I'm with you. This is being made out to be a whole lot worse than the data supports. And so I'm someone that keeps saying, you know, I know the science, I know what science says, but here's the reality. I don't really care what science says. I want to know, what does the data say?
Well, exactly. Not only that, when they say listen to the science, that's a stupid figure of speech or phrase, because science doesn't actually say anything. What they really mean is listen to the scientists, and then the obvious question is, well, what scientists? Which ones? They're saying different things. Anthony Fauci might say one thing. Of course, it depends on when you're talking about, because he flip-flops more than a politician. I wrote
right.
a whole article about that for a magazine. So what scientists are you listening to? If you look at credible scientists in the private sector, they will tell you things such as, based on studies, lockdowns not only do not save lives, they cost lives,
right?
Because lockdowns create poverty and economic distress, and they have associated with them those things, a whole host of negative health outcomes. There are studies indicating that masks are not really effective, especially when prescribed at the level of population. And like I said, this virus is not as deadly as they've led people to believe. There was a study out of Newcastle University which found that for children under 10 years old, the flu is at least twice as deadly
mm-hmm.
as the China virus is. So what's going on here? What is motivating these politicians?
Yeah.
Well, you can
said.
Stop me if I'm going on too
no,
long.
You're speaking my language. You're right on target, Selwyn. Perfect.
Yeah, but here's the thing. What's motivating them? I think there are two factors here. One is they're in a hole. They're in very deep.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot now admit
nope.
that these lockdowns
nope.
were one of the biggest boondoggles in American history, because if they did that, John, their political careers would be over.
That's right.
Newsom, Cuomo, Whitmer, all of them, Murphy
yep.
in New Jersey. They can't do that, because then they'll be admitting that they wrecked
That's
our
right.
economy for
That's
nothing.
Right. That's right.
So they have a vested interest in continuing on this course,
mm-hmm.
keeping on digging. And the reality is, are they flat-out lying? Not always, because human beings have a great capacity for rationalization. But maybe they're convincing themselves this is the right way to go in certain cases. But that's one motivation. What is the other motivation? Okay, this may sound like a conspiracy theory. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. So what I will do is I will quote the Prime Minister of Canada, Justin Trudeau. He was speaking to the United Nations in September. And you know what he said? He said, this pandemic gives us the opportunity to advance something that we were working on before
That's right.
the pandemic.
That's right.
A reset. He actually used the term reset. And then he said it gives us a chance to, and I think this is verbatim, reimagine economic systems.
That's right.
So they are using this as a pretext to
That's right.
remake our civilization. Again, not theory. That's from the horse's mouth. Justin Trudeau
Yep.
said it himself. And that would explain why they're exaggerating the severity of this pandemic, and why they themselves, when they're caught
yep.
unguarded, don't really
That's
seem
right.
to be all that worried about it.
That's right. Selwyn Duke, thank you very much for joining us. I'll have you back. Good stuff, New American Magazine. I appreciate it. Happy Thanksgiving, sir.
Thank you. Same to you.
You're very welcome. Let's do this. Charlie, let's just combine our last two breaks together. Toby is up next. Toby, you got a question. What's going on, Toby?
Well, you was comparing the deaths on the COVID-19. I'd like to know what the fatality rate is on abortions daily, every day.
In Colorado, about 10,000. I looked up that data, I believe, a couple of days ago. It's 10,000 a year.
But for the whole United States?
It depends on the year, but around 750,000, Toby.
Yeah.
It's huge. Huge number. Far
yeah.
more than we're ever going to lose in regards to COVID. Toby, thank you very much. Great question, by the way. Bill in Boulder, you're next. What's going on, Bill?
Hey, good evening, John. A couple of things. First of all, I wanted to follow up on what your last guest was talking about with the effectiveness of masks. And just yesterday, there was a study released out of by some Danish researchers. This study was actually conducted.
I read that study, by the way. Great study.
Yeah, peer-reviewed. And yep. Basically, it said that there really is no difference so between wearing a mask and not wearing a mask.
Nope.
I think 1.8% of the people wearing the mask.
Yeah, and in fact, real quick, I want to add something else to that, Bill.
Not.
I want to add something else to that because a texter actually was going back and forth. Me and this texter have gone back and forth on the mask thing, back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I finally sent that to him, and this particular texter came back and said, yeah, okay, I get that. This study is basically saying there's no conclusive evidence that masks help, but it does say that distancing does. And my response back to that, Bill, is this. That, I believe, is correct. There's never a substitute for distancing yourself from someone else that's sick. But here's my point with masks. They don't allow you to do that. The masks, I believe, give people a false sense of security and get people closer together, not farther apart.
So good segue, actually, John, because what I was going to say once I heard about this on Ron Paul's Liberty Report today. And so if the masks aren't effective, but yet they have been encouraging us to get closer together in grocery stores, at the barbershop, and things of that nature, that leads me to ask the question, well, how infectious is the Wu flu actually in reality?
Right.
If we've been getting that close together all of this time and people aren't getting sick, if it was that infectious, we should all be that sick.
I agree. You are you know, spot on. And it was funny because the texter and I were going back and forth, and I think he was trying to prove a point that, the study does say it's conclusive that we should distance ourselves. Well, my comment back is, masks don't help with that, which means you just have said all along what I've been saying, take the dang thing off, distance yourself from one another, and we'll be in great shape.
Totally. Absolutely, and just respect that distance.
It's called common sense, Bill, but we don't have any of that left in this country.
Absolutely, John. Last night you had on William Jasper, was it?
Yes, Jasper.
That was a great interview. I really appreciate you having him on. One thing that a question I had when I was listening to that was, because he was talking about Operation Hammer.
Right.
And what I was wondering was, I guess it really kind of points out how deep the deep state really is. If that was going on the entire time of the past 4 years, it really under the current administration's nose, and I think that they would probably be more attuned to that than former administrations, because their intent is to kind of drain the swamp and really make politics real again.
Yep.
That was kind of startling realization to me that this was going on the whole time.
Yep, fully agree. And by the way, all of you can listen to that on a podcast from last night. Bill, I got to run. Thank you very much. It's always a joy talking to you. You're welcome anytime. I do appreciate all your calls and the information that you provide and just the thought process that we have going on. I do appreciate that. American National Insurance is next, folks, and they want to help you out. Paul, I should say, my insurance agent, wants to help you make sure that you're properly insured. Give him a call today at 303-662-0789.
Your home insurance should include the stuff inside your house, too. The personal insurance agent of John Rush, Paul Leuenberger, with American National Insurance, remains one of very few agents who will sit down with you and ask specific, detailed questions, making sure that in a disaster, you will be made financially whole. After a fire, you won't only need a new place to live, you'll also need to replace your gun collection and your jewelry. In those situations, you don't want to work with an agent you found online. You want to talk to someone who knows you, someone who will take the initiative to call and see how you're doing. Even in less disastrous situations, such as accidentally dropping your wedding ring down the sink, the proper coverage with Paul will make you financially whole. Paul Leuenberger can't relieve the emotional loss of a family heirloom, but he will make sure that you can replace your possessions at their full financial value. Call 303-662-0789 for the coverage you expect.
Stream Auto Repair, folks, I want to take care of you, your vehicle, make sure that you're safe, make sure you've got great tires, you can make it through the snow. Yes, we have snow coming even this weekend. Go to klzradio.com or call them directly at 303-841-1071.
You never enjoy going to the dealership for maintenance because you always get the runaround. You'd much rather give your business to a local independent shop. But you assume you have to go back to the dealership to maintain your service contract. You bought the vehicle there, so you need to get it maintained there too, right? Wrong! Extreme Auto Repair in Parker will honor almost all service contracts. You pay your deductible just like you would at the dealership, and Extreme Auto Repair does the work. Two-time AAA award-winning Shop of the Year, Extreme Auto Repair in Parker does their best to make your life easier by offering everything you need to maintain your vehicle for as long as you drive it. Fill out the contact form at klzradio.com/extreme to find out whether or not Extreme Auto Repair will honor your dealership service contract. Promises kept.
If you're involved in an accident of any kind or you just want to freshen up of your vehicle, a good shop can do that. It's a collision center. Three locations to serve you in North Denver, two in North Glen, one in Commerce City. Find them by calling 720-541-7697 or klzradio.com.
All you're looking for is a good shop. You've already been through the extremely unpleasant experience of a collision. Now you're dreading the process of repairing the damage to your vehicle. You just want someone professional and polite who will answer your phone calls and tell you what's going on. It doesn't seem like too much to ask, but somehow it's so hard to find. Well, we at KLZ found a good shop. Al Sturm and his team explain all of the costs, so you know what you're paying for. They help you with your insurance claim. They handle all of your auto body work in-house, so you get your vehicle back faster, and a real person answers the phone every time. Best of all, they'll get your vehicle looking great back to pre-loss condition. Al and his team run a good shop, and that's exactly what you're looking for. Find them now at klzradio.com/collision. Certified collision repair, worth referring.
All right, folks, Rush to Reason. Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. In other news, I didn't get a chance to talk about this earlier. Maybe Andy and I can actually touch on this tomorrow. Vogue magazine this week announced that singer Harry Styles, who I don't know who that is, but he will be the December's cover star, but he's wearing a dress. Yeah, folks, that's where we've come to. Guys wearing dresses are somehow now celebrated as they actually get rid of masculinity. That's really what this is all about. Toxic masculinity. We'll talk more about that tomorrow if we have time. Up next, Kurt Rogers is going to join us. We're going to talk mortgages, rates, housing market. Where are we headed? What's going on? We'll be right back. Hour number three is next. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.